Dave and Esther Morgan have been serving Treasure Coast motorists since 1986 with the best in automotive care. A1 Auto Care is...
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
You're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen, amen. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, and just want to welcome you here this morning. I'm here with my two co-hosts, as the third one is working today. So I just want to welcome Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deanne Diaz.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. So we all had just like 2 minutes to talk to each other.
Oh, gosh.
Before
fast
we came
morning.
In. So, yeah, well, we always are excited to see how the Lord brings everything together for us, because we know whatever he's speaking to us individually, he's probably speaking it to you as well. And, you know, our prayer on this program is that, you know, as you're listening, as you're hearing what each of us are sharing, that you'll be able to take away something, that the Lord will confirm things to you, maybe that he's been speaking to you about, maybe he's putting language to something that you haven't, that you've been trying to process. Because I know that that happens to me when I'm listening to others, that, you know, maybe you have something rolling around in your spirit for a few days, but you just can't really put your finger on it. And then, lo and behold, the Lord has somebody say something, and bam, there it is right there. So went to the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer last night, and that was pretty good. I'll say all the ones, the different ones that prayed for the different areas on the Treasure Coast. And, you know, to me, it just gave a picture of all, you know, a lot of times we're in our own little world and we only see, you know, a very narrow picture of things that are happening. But when you're in a group of pastors and leaders that are in different areas of ministry, you know, it broadens everything.
It does.
You know, and then, you know, you realize, like, the one lady that prayed at the beginning for the schools, for the school board, for the teachers, for the children. And, you know, for me, that's amazing, because that's not even part of my world, you know, so I don't really identify with anything that's going on there. And, you know, to hear her heart for all the different ones that are involved in the schools and teaching and the children. It's, you know, it's nice to know that the Lord has people in all of these different areas of life. You may not be in that area, but the Lord has somebody in that. And then Kelly Conway was praying for those that were in addiction. She came out of addiction herself. So she has been there and done that, and the Lord has delivered her and set her free, and she's now ministering to those that are coming out of that. And then Seamus Gordon, who is here on WCNO with the Dad Up program, I was so touched by his prayer, you know, because it's so timely. He has a real heart for fathers and father figures. And isn't this not the time that the Lord is going to bring restoration to families? And if the father is not in the family, then the family is out of order. And things just will fall apart in families because you need the father there for the direction and for the protection, really, over the families. And anyway, he just offered a beautiful prayer, and I just believe that a lot of men, you know, will go ahead and take their rightful place and just stand up and do what the Lord has called them to do. And, you know, there were others that were praying for other different things, praying for the church. But it was very encouraging. So I would like to see that continued in prayer, in intercession. You know, I'd love to see more people than the pastors praying. I would love to see, that, you know, those of us that are intercessors, you know, we need to get together and have a prayer session, you know, with different things that are on the heart of the Lord. And so we'll see if something like that can take place with you know, this is the time for the body of Christ to step up.
Yes.
Whatever the Lord's calling you to do, get ready, because he's going to employ you. And yeah, we can't wait anymore. There's definitely been a shift in the atmosphere. There's been a shift in the way things that are done. And, you know, a lot of us look at the death of Charlie Kirk, you know, a modern day martyr. Many don't see him as a martyr because they feel like he did not, you know, preach or whatever. But he was a martyr. He was someone who loved Jesus. And he was in a sphere of influence which overlapped with the political, but nonetheless, he was still a brother in Christ. So he lived out what the Lord had led him to do in his life. You might be called to be in a different area, but when you do it with all your heart as unto the Lord, if you were murdered for doing whatever you do on your job, then you would be considered a martyr. Because, you know, the enemy hates the people of God. The enemy hates Jesus. It's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. So we're in a time where we're going to be experiencing that more and more. And I feel like we need to wake up and realize that the enemy is relentless in his pursuit. And as the times get shorter, or the time gets shorter, then the attacks are going to become more frequent. And we're not to cower in fear, because Jesus has already overcome. But we have to overcome in our own lives in order to be overcome, to overcome in this life, and to overcome your own enemies. You know, what are your enemies? And last night the Lord had spoke to me to pray for your enemies. Yes. You know, we don't want to pray for our enemies. We want everything to be just lovely and hunky-dory. And I think we used that word last week. you know, we have to do both. Mm-hmm. We've got to be sold out to the Lord Jesus and completely surrender to him and pray for our enemies as well. And so I just wanted to start off with this, that you know, in Matthew 5:43-48, I'm going to read this out of the, what one do I have here? The Message. From verse 43, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer. For then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best. He gives the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. And then in John 15, verse 18, I'm just going to read these scriptures and then see how it works out. I should have marked these off, but I didn't. All right, John 15, 18. I'm getting there. You hear the pages turning. Mm-hmm. All right, 15, 18. If you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. Mm. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. When this happens, remember this. Servants don't get better treatment than their masters. If they beat on me, they will certainly beat on you. If they did what I told them, they will do what you tell them. They're going to do all these things to you because of the way they treated me, because they don't know the one who sent me. If I hadn't come and told them all of this in plain language, it wouldn't be so bad. As it is, they have no excuse. Hate me, hate my father. It's all the same. If I hadn't done what I've done among them, works no one has ever done, they wouldn't be to blame. But they saw the God signs and hated anyway, both me and my father. Interesting, they have verified the truth of their own scriptures where it is written. They have hated me for no good reason. And when the friend that I plan to send you from the Father comes, the Spirit of truth, issuing from the Father, he will confirm everything about me. You too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence since you're in this with me from the start. And then in Luke 6:27, see, I thought I highlighted all these, you know, so they're easier to find. 6:27. Okay. To you who are ready for the truth, I say this, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond, and this is, you know, almost the same as in Matthew, respond with the supple moves of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more payback. Live generously. And finally, in Proverbs 25, 21 and 22, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So the point is that as the nation's rage seems to be the big thing that's happening right now. You can feel it, you can see it, it's very tangible that people are raging against one another. You know, it's bad enough that the world's doing it against the Lord, but for the church to be doing it against one another is not a good thing. You know, when Jesus prayed for his believers, he prayed for those that will come later. And there's still a lot of people that are going to come later. There's still a lot of lost souls that are waiting, that whose eyes have been blinded by the enemy. And for those of us in this time, then we need to be aware of those souls. But, you know, a lot of people maybe are just writing off all the people that are raging, you know, whether it's in the United States or around the world. You know, we just look at them and, you know, maybe we kind of gaff them off because, oh, yeah, they're delusional. They hate Jesus. But that's a real person. If you really look at them individually, it's a real person that Jesus created and that he loves those people that are throwing Molotov cocktails as much as he loves me. He loves the ones that are breaking windows. He loves the one that's doing all those things. He loves them just as much as he loves each one of us. And anyway, I'm just feeling that in my heart today for our enemies, that, you know, we don't ignore the enemies. We see what they're doing. But just like Jesus said, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Whatever the reason they're doing it, they don't know what they do. And lastly, with Erica Kirk, when she forgave that man that murdered her husband, that took all of the power of the enemy away from destroying her life. She could have, you know, gone into bitterness like many people do. But because she forgave him and is actively doing that, then, you know, God's going to reward that. And I don't know if you'd seen it from Tim Allen, comedian Tim Allen, that he tweeted out yesterday that when he saw her do that, he said he was able to forgive the person that killed his father 16 years ago.
Gosh. Wow.
So when we do it the Lord's way, when we pray for our enemies, when we forgive those that hurt us, those that have trespassed against us, then the Lord, it sets off a chain reaction. I bet there's many people that have found forgiveness for maybe things that they were holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what I have to say.
Mm, that's powerful.
There's power in forgiveness. Mm. There was power on that cross.
Yes.
When he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Can you imagine those words? Those people surrounding him heard it and recognized everything that took place after. I mean, that land, that heaven and earth were shaken at that moment, you know? The veil was torn. All of these things were happening. And, you know, I think about what she said before that, too. And I'm paraphrasing, but she had said something in regards to that man who took my husband's life was the man that we were reaching.
Yeah.
It was the face of many faces. It was the man of many men, young men in those college campuses. She says, that was my husband's heart, you know, to reach those people, the very one that chose to take him out. which gives us a call today. Like, don't stop reaching them. Don't stop the enemy of the cross. Mm-hmm. Don't forget about them. Still have those conversations. Still meet them at that place. Still be the one. Like my dear sister, she's gonna be sharing about the Beatitudes. Still be that one that brings peace. Mm-hmm. Still bring that one. I mean, still be that one. And so I just think about Jesus again facing this moment that he was well aware of, which was the crucifixion. You know, he was well aware of that the enemies were going to take him. He was well aware of the betrayer, Judas. He was so well aware. And prior to that, he was calling people to pray. He was calling the disciples to pray, to stay alert, to pray in the midst of such agony, such excruciating pain. I mean, it's indescribable. I can't describe it. I can't use enough adjectives of what our Messiah, our Lord, was facing at that moment. You know, the theologians, we all think we have the answers, right? For that one moment. But only Jesus knows exactly what he was going through, exactly what he was facing, exactly what he was fighting. And he kept saying two or three times, I believe, I'm not going to go to the scriptures, but it's in Matthew 26. And it's in the other gospels too, but Matthew 26 is my reference. But, you know, he's saying, stay up. He kept going back, guys, you're falling asleep. And I feel like even in this time, we still have to call people, stay up. Stay up and pray, because prayer is our advantage. Prayer is our privilege. Prayer is our position. Prayer is our power.
Yes.
Prayer reveals things. The revealer reveals things to us in prayer. Prayer transforms us.
Amen.
Prayer gets us to that place of right thinking. It's saying the right things, doing the right things. And so don't stop praying in this hour. God the Father, he wants to show us things. He wants to tell us things. He wants to change us. You know, it's interesting that he even said, you know, like stay alert and keep prayerful at that moment, right? And I'm paraphrasing, but I'm getting these things as I'm speaking, you know, where he also mentioned, unless you be tempted. How many of us daily face temptation? And the scripture says, you know, when temptation comes, there's a way out that's seen, if we can see it. And I believe, you know, at that moment, he was saying, you know, don't, unless you fall in temptation, that can mean so many things. That can mean deny him. That can mean run in fear the other way, not say anything, not do anything. That could be picking up the sword, like one of the disciples did. And when Jesus was being arrested, he cut that soldier's ear off. Mm-hmm. He responded with violence because he saw the violence coming their way. And again, I'm just sharing what took place in that one moment, you know. And I know there's a time and place. It's different. Like Ecclesiastic, the times are different. There's a time, you know, to mourn. There's a time to rejoice. But I'm saying, I just feel so strongly in this hour, the temptation is to do the same. The temptation is to get upset. The temptation is to forget about them. The temptation is not to pray for our enemies when Jesus commanded us to. And so, how are we going to win this war? It's always been love and truth. Mm-hmm. Love and truth. Love and truth. Do it the way Jesus did. He's the victorious one. And it's interesting that even when the disciple took the sword to cut this enemy's ear off, he said, do you understand who I am? I can call upon all of these angels, right? and I can destroy everyone and anything. And I'm paraphrasing, these were not exact words, just go into Matthew 26. But he was literally saying, like, I could stop all this. In fact, they don't even have to come in violence towards me. I'm freely giving my life away, right? And you see that, to me, that's just reminding me again, he's sovereign. He reigns, and his will be done, because he then says, the scriptures have to be fulfilled. Guys, God's word is the last word. Mm-hmm. We can't change that. I'm sorry. We can't. Whatever is written is written. He is so faithful. That's what makes him so worthy. That's what makes him so holy. That he can't take back his word. It is already established in the heavens. Mm-hmm. When we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we can't stop that. Mm-hmm. We can't stop that. So at that moment, he's reminding them, hey, this has to come. This is a scripture that must be fulfilled in this appointed time. So again, there is going to be some things that we can't change, but he's sovereign and it has to be fulfilled. And we have to just trust him in it. We have to trust in the fulfillment of the scriptures, fulfillment of what was prophesied, fulfillment of what was written. And so he's sovereign. So there's things that are going to take place that we just cannot stop, that has to come. Amen. And so the way we respond to it is what matters right now. What we do with it is what matters right now.
Amen.
How are we going to bring him the rightful praise? How are we going to do the things that truly please him? How are we going to love our enemies and love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength? And you know, when we're doing all of those things, he has to respond. Amen. So his mercy has to triumph over judgment. All of these things take place when we respond the right way. And Jesus is the way. He's the person of the way. He's the person of the truth. He's the person of the life. Mm-hmm. And so stay alert. Stay prayerful. Mm-hmm. We have to see beyond our feelings. We have to see beyond what we feel, you know, like what we think it's right. We have to move past man's wisdom and into the wisdom of heaven.
Amen.
We have to move past all that. And what does that? Prayer. I know every time I pray, oh gosh, God starts peeling some things. God starts revealing some things. Mm-hmm. He starts exposing what we tell our children, right, when they were little. You got yuckies in your heart. You know, he starts, God. And the prayer just gets us, goes, we go deeper and deeper and deeper until there's no more, because he sees everything and we can't hide from him. And mm-hmm. So it gets us in that place. So my pleading, my call today is pray. Even if you don't know how to pray, it says in the scripture, Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Deliver us right from evil. You know, he gave us this beautiful pattern. And every word means so much more in the spirit. But he gave us this way of praying. And even if you can only say that prayer, you know, black and white, word for word, he'll meet you and he'll then take you deeper to the next step in that prayer realm, and the next step, and the next step, and the next step, until truly the veil is torn and you're in the heavenlies and you begin to see the word come alive, like it says in Hebrews 4, and you begin to see things his way. Mm-hmm. Begin to see his heart. Mm-hmm. Then you move with it. Then you recognize the intercessor, who's our intercessor, who's at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Then we see his intercession. Wow. Guys, And it's just, so pray, stay alert.
Yes.
Hear and see what he is doing and saying. That's Amen. My part.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take a quick break.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Okay, we're back, and we'll continue on in the Word. And Deanne, go ahead. I know you have something.
Oh my gosh, with both of you anointed women of God, all that you are sharing and saying is just confirming the Word of God, confirming the Scripture, confirming the heart of Abba Father. And like we were saying, you know, those that are overtaken in sin, you know, even if it be in our own household, whomever we come across, you know, we see people making wrong choices. We see them doing unrighteous, you know, sinful things, harmful things, you know, just horrible, wicked things. And you just want to shake them and you want to just like correct them and you want to tell them, you know, what they're doing wrong. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And this is where the Bible tells us what to do. Because only the Word of God is living and active. And when we pray the living, powerful Word of God, when we pray and we take that stand to intercede, and we take the and join in partnership with Christ, the one who's constantly interceding, there is such tremendous power that we can't even comprehend it. We think, oh, I'm just praying a little prayer. I'm just saying, no. What you are doing is so supernatural. It truly is supernatural. And we have to understand that. If we will just stop and take a minute to pray for that person instead of confronting that person, instead of retaliating, getting offended by what the person's saying or doing. God gave me this years ago when my husband and I were reconciling and, you know, the things that he would say and do, and I would just get so upset. But Galatians 6, I'm reading it from the Amplified. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Holy Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority, and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you also be tempted. That's what you were saying, Nanette, mm-hmm. that we also, you know, can fall into that temptation.
That's right.
Bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ, the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in obedience to it. For if any person thinks himself to be more, to be somebody too important to condescend to the shoulder of another's load when he is nobody, truly, he deceives himself. And it says in verse 4, but let each person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work, because we all sin and fall short, no matter how great or how small that sin is.
Mm-hmm.
And also in line with that is Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
We were all once there.
Mm-hmm.
We were once there. We were living in sin. We were making very bad choices, and we had no remorse. We had no regret of our pleasures, the lust of the flesh, you know, pleasures of the world. Verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. But this is talking, we were enemies of God. We were, and God still, we were sinners, and Jesus still died for us, and God still loved us. And his plan of salvation and reconciliation, it didn't waver. It didn't change at all. I'm going to go to Matthew 10 and verse 36. Now let me go back up to 35. Matthew 10, 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
Hmm.
And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So in other words, God must be first. His word of truth must rule and reign in our lives and in our decision-making and our daily breathing must be first. Even if it turns our own family members, our own household against us. But we are not to retaliate. We are not to give evil for evil, right? And that's in verse, Karen, I'm going to go just up from where you were reading in verse in Matthew 5. You read, love your enemies. If we go up to verse 38, it said, you have heard that it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for mm-hmm. a tooth. So in other words, we're not supposed to give them what they give us,
mm-hmm.
right? But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So we are to continue to demonstrate the love of God, the compassion of God, the mercy and grace of God, the forgiveness of God. So all the attributes of God. And that takes us to the Beatitudes, which is what the Lord put on my heart this morning. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew 5:3, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So no matter what people say and do to us, as Karen was saying, our enemies, we would consider them enemies, because if they're against us, they're not really against us. They're against the Christ in us. They're against the Christ in us, and they're against what we are standing for and what we are obeying and walking in, which is the word of God. So this is where we can't take it personal. Mm-hmm. We can't take it personal, and we can't look at them as our enemy. We have to look at them as lost, as mm-hmm. captive, mm-hmm. as deceived, as blind, as deaf, as broken. Who knows what's happened in their lives that brought them to this place? I mean, even if we examine our own lives, what brought me to the place mm-hmm. of adultery? What brought me to the place of the sins that I committed and the negligence that I carried out in many ways? What brought me to that place? So God only knows the heart and the root of the issue in that person. So Karen, even last night we were leaving that meeting and you're like, whoa, God is showing me. We're over here rejoicing. God's doing all this great things and bringing the body together, and we're standing up bold and courageous. But God is saying, what about all those enemies behind mm-hmm. there that are in darkness, that Come are on. Lost, that Come are on. Damned, that do not have eternal life? That's who Jesus is looking at.
Amen. 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 My heart was just, that was so shocking to me right in the middle of that prayer meeting. I don't know, somebody was praying about something and then
see
boom.
What happens when we're praying?
Yes.
But look, I wanted to read this from the Message in Matthew 5, verse 9. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. Mm. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. In verse 10, you're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into his kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. Mm. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort.
Yes.
And they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer, for though they don't like it, I do. Mm. And all heaven applauds, and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Mm. But yes, those that the Lord had showed me that it was a vision. That thing about pray for your enemies and love your enemies, it was like a split second. And I had a vision of the church. We know that we're entering into a time of great, whether it's great awakening, revival, maybe reformation, I think it's all of the above, you know, because the Lord is on the scene and he is making himself known in the earth, and he's doing things that we are not able to do, and he's doing it all simultaneously. So, but I just, like, I just had this vision of, you know, the church, everybody's, we're hooping and hollering. We were talking about it last week. We've been praying forever, and, you know, all this prayer about revival and awakening and reformation, and now that it's here. But I just had this vision of all the church just, you know, looking in the glorious light of the Lord. But yet right over here is the people sitting in darkness. And they don't know. They don't know Jesus yet. Maybe some of them will never come to him. But there are still those that will, that are sitting in darkness. And our prayer should be just like the scripture says, and those that are sitting in darkness, let them see a great light. Mm-hmm. Let them see the light of Jesus in the church.
Yes.
You know, at not to keep talking about Charlie Kirk, but there's so many references, spiritual references to everything that took place and the hundreds of thousands of people, and then people all over the world, you know, that have been impacted by his witness for Christ. But forget about the political stuff. It's not even that. It's his commitment to Jesus. And if you don't see anything else about Charlie Kirk, he would say what he had to say. He'd hold that microphone up to his mouth. And after he said what he wanted to say, he put the mic down. He set the mic down on the table so that the other person could talk, that the other person could be heard. Mm-hmm. And you know, we need to see that in the spirit, you know, when you're with people and, you know, maybe people are coming against you. put your microphone down and just listen. Mm, yes. Listen to the people. He had trans people on there. He had lesbians and gays and all kinds of people that would just, you know, they would stand there and tell him, well, you know, you don't like me. And he's never said that. He would say, what is your story? The one young lady who said she always felt like that she was gay, I think. And he said, well, you know, who told you that? She said, well, that's just what I think. And anyway, but he was able to instruct her rather than going through any kind of thing to dismember her body or, you know, do any harm to her body. He said, why don't you go and talk to people? Go and talk to somebody who you can share your thoughts with and share all your feelings with before you make a decision to do something that you can't change, mm-hmm. or, you know, that will bring harm to you. Mm. But anyway, we gotta, whoever our enemies are, whoever we see as the bad guy, the big bad wolf, you know, the devil's been defeated. And, you know, I know for myself, I just completely look at people differently now. The Lord really has changed my heart to be able to see people from his perspective and to not believe everything that I'm hearing. You know, you would mm-hmm. just believe, because this is what happens. People believe, they'll hear a little snippet of something, and then the enemy interjects that, and then it becomes part of their thought process. Mm-hmm. And then they just believe it, because you see what, you know, what's happening with people. Well, Charlie Kirk said this, or Charlie Kirk said this. And we're just using him as the example because he's the main example right at the moment. You know, somebody has a list. Well, he said this, 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 and this. And that's what they use for their defense. But when in fact he did not say those things, if, you know, you have to hear the whole, it's just like the scriptures. You can hear a little portion of the scripture. Mm-hmm. But unless you read before and after, mm-hmm. you don't have the proper context. And anyway, yeah. Let's put down our microphones and listen to people. You know, there's no shortage of people that really need to hear from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, it's not just the homeless. It's not just those drug addicts out on the street. It's people in your neighborhood. It's your friend's mother, you know, or one of the siblings. Open your eyes to see, you know, the people that are hurting, the people that are maybe hiding in the background that
right.
aren't saying too much.
Right. Yeah. And just, you know, really quick, because as you're talking, and I pulled it from the Message Bible, the same Bible that you're reading, and, you know, when Jesus came into the scene, right, when people started recognizing, who's this man that walks among us, right? It seemed like revival to them. They didn't have a word for it. They weren't saying it was revival. It was awakening as well. They weren't using that same word. And it was reformation as well. They weren't saying that. You know, all of these things were happening all at the same time when Jesus showed up. Mm-hmm. When Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. The bread of life, the word in the flesh, like he came into the scene, guys, and all of this stuff was happening. But what did he tell the disciples in Matthew 4:19? And this is where I'll read it from the Message, like my sister here has been. It says, walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. And Jesus said to them, Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. We got to simply drop our nets and follow and be those fishers of men and women out there.
Yes.
We got to get out there. And yes, like Karen said, let them speak. Have those conversations. But be fishers of men and women.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, as Karen was talking, it's like that's why the Bible says be slow to speak, quick to hear. How are we always opposite of that? You know, we want to just talk, 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 and we want to beat people over the head with the Bible. All it does is push them away. You know, it's the goodness of God that leads and draws men to repentance. And that's what they need to see is the character, the attributes of God, the goodness, the mercy, the compassion, the grace, the love. That's what's going to draw, and the fruit of the Spirit, that's what's going to draw people. I was thinking of this song as I was driving in this morning, and that's what you're saying. It's, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. Take my heart. Take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. And again, I give myself away. But there's going on down, it says, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. And this is where God wants us to live, that we are picking up our cross, following Christ, that we're giving ourselves to him, that we're saying, Lord, here I am, use me, which was the sign everybody was holding at Charlie Kirk's memorial.
That's right.
It says, Lord, here I am, send me. And like Erica said in her speech there, she said, he said that at a meeting. And then I said, hon, you should check with me before you speak that. You don't know what you're giving God permission to do. But it's true. When we are yielded and we are surrendered and we are saying, God, here I am. And the Lord, the last thing I'll say is on Sunday on the way to prayer meeting, Karen, God put in my heart, it's not the man. And this could be Charlie Kirk. It could be you. It could be any Christian, man or woman. It's not the man, it's the message. It's not the man, it's the morals. And those morals are the godly character. That's what matters. What is our message and what are our morals demonstrating godly character? And then he dropped in my heart a little later, Christianity is not for wimps. Christianity is for warriors in the spirit, not the flesh. And it does, people say, oh, that's just a crutch. You know, you're Christian and you just, you know, you rely on God and the Bible. No, it's not for when. Jesus showed that. If we're wimpy Christians, that's not who Jesus called us to be. He said, you're supposed to be doing the works I did and greater works. And, you know, he sent his disciples out to do the work. It is for warriors, but we don't war in the flesh and blood. We war in the spirit. We war by prayer. We war by the word. We wield the sword of the spirit, the word of God. And it's time for the ecclesia to rise up and be the warriors for Jesus Christ and the warriors for truth and the warriors for righteousness. But when we do it God's way, we will see the fruit of it and we will see the harvest come in.
Amen. And, you know, and we war because we have to surrender, you know, in the natural. You know, surrendering is like the last thing you want to do, you know, because you want to defeat your enemy. But in Christ, you know, we surrender to him because he's already won the war. And it's only through that surrender and the, you know, that continual obedience to the way that he designed things that, you know, we're going to experience that abundant life and, like it says with David, that the Lord gave David rest from all his enemies. David was fully committed to the Lord. You know, you mess up, everybody messes up. But when your ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. So this is the day to pray for your enemies, love your enemies, see who your enemies are and pray. And, you know, John G. Lake had said, when you pray for someone, pray until you feel the compassion of God, and then you'll know that your prayers will be answered. Pray until you feel compassion. Mm. You pray the word. We always talk about that.
So good.
We pray the word of God because we decree it, we declare it. And then we pray with our understanding. We pray from our heart. We continue in prayer. And then we ask Jesus to help us to pray. Mm-hmm. However we pray, in whatever form we pray, when that compassion of God comes upon you or rises up within your heart, then you know that you know that you know that you shall have whatsoever you ask of the Lord. So we just pray for our enemies today, whoever they are. And Father God, we just speak your blessings over to all of our listeners, Lord God. Father, I pray that each and every one who listens to the program, even for us, God, that you would give us a rest from our enemies, that you would show us who the enemies are. Jesus. Lord God, that we can pray and that we can intercede and that we can believe you, Lord God, that you will take care of those things. We thank you, God. We thank you and we bless you. We worship your holy name. Jesus, thank you that it's only because of you that we are even here.
Amen, yes.
And we thank you. We thank you, God, for your plans and purposes for us individually and for the earth. Lord, we just jump in and we celebrate, God.
Thank
we
you.
Celebrate, yes. Lord, whatever is going on, whatever it is, however you're moving, God. We celebrate your move. We
yes.
celebrate. Yes, we celebrate revelation that you're bringing to your people. We celebrate, God, all the great and wonderful things that you've done since the beginning of time. We celebrate, God, that your chosen yeah. nation, Israel,
yes, Lord,
will stand, will be the last man standing. And we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. We bless you. We praise you. And we worship your holy name.
Yes, and we just thank you. We thank you that when you showed up in the scene thousands of years ago, just like you're present in the scene now, healings will come. Miracles will happen. Prayers are going to be answered. Prodigals are going to return.
Yes, yes, yes.
The manifestation of your glory is going to hit the streets. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the things
Thank
that we celebrate.
Lord.
We celebrate when this turning point is happening, when this change is happening, when this shift is happening, when this new is happening. We rejoice because we know there's demonstrations that will happen. Demonstrations that back up his name, that back up his presence, and that back up his blood. So we are expecting, and you should be expect back to, as you abide, like Karen was saying, abiding in him. And then you ask, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you ask. Everything will be given to you. It says in John 15, as I'm abiding in you and you in me, ask anything. And I shall give it to you. Let's ask him for the nations. Let's ask him mm-hmm. for the prodigals. Let's ask him for our enemies' hearts to be changed and receive that heart of flesh like in Ezekiel and be filled
yes.
with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Let's ask these big things according to his will. In
amen.
Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we just bless you and we thank you. We thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for this program. Thanks for the privilege of being able to come here every Friday, Lord, and to just hear what you're saying to us and to your people. We bless you. We praise you. In Jesus' name,
Jesus
hallelujah.
Name. Amen. Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Sorry.
Me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.
No.